Democratic senators are calling for the Pentagon Inspector General to investigate the Navy's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and its firing of a captain for raising concerns about its slow response. Correspondent Cassie F. Shoemaker.
Democratic members of the Senate Armed Services Committee on Friday called for an investigation into the firing of Navy Captain Brett Crozier, the commander of the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and the Navy's handling of the coronavirus outbreak. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says he believes the Navy has no idea how many hotspots it has. Crozier was let go on Thursday after raising concerns about the virus. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says he supports the Navy Secretary's decision to remove Crozier. Carrie Shoemaker, Washington.
Scarce supplies of medical equipment are leading to growing competition within the U.S. and among nations. I'm Barton Eckert. President Trump has fired Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, who handled the whistleblower complaint that triggered his impeachment. Trump informed the Senate Intelligence Committee last night of his decision to fire Atkinson. Federal officials on Friday ordered airlines to reimburse customers for canceled flights. Jeff McKay reports.
The U.S. Department of Transportation did not say how many claims it substantiated, but it did direct carriers in an enforcement notice to say passengers should be refunded promptly when their scheduled flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Airlines canceled significant portions of their schedules as demand plummeted and denied refunds and in many cases in lieu of vouchers for future flights. Industry metrics show carriers are flying about half their schedules and only 1 in 10 seats are being filled. Carriers did provide refunds as required after incidents including the September 11, 2001 terror attacks.
I'm Barton
Jeff McKay, Washington.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The coronavirus has affected just about every aspect of our lives and many of the federal government's operations as well. The Census Bureau, which should have been close to full speed now, has been hit especially hard. Correspondent Christopher Cruz reports.
The country is almost paralyzed by the spread of the coronavirus, but census officials say that will not keep them from wrapping up their count of everyone who lives in the U.S. by the middle of August and reporting the final count to the president by December 31st. The virus forced the Bureau to suspend field operations for a month from mid-March to mid-April. It's also delayed the start of count for the homeless and people living in group quarters like college dorms and nursing homes. The Bureau is spending $500 million on outreach efforts, including advertising. Those efforts have been hurt by the nationwide shutdown. Christopher Cruz, Washington.
And I'm Barton Eckert.
It's time for Spring Madness at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Time to pack the gear, find the perfect spot, make the journey, and enjoy the outdoors. Gear up during the Spring Madness sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. With top brands like Worldwide Sportsman and Natural Reflections, check out our lower prices on Ascend Kayaks. And save up to 25% on tackle bags and boxes. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here. Shop online at BassPro.com or Cabela's.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
WMAL Traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. So far, things are quiet on the Capitol Beltway, but do keep in mind that there is road work this weekend that affects the Intercounty Connector. Again, eastbound between the Columbia Pike and 95, that portion will be closed for the tolling upgrades, but detours are in place. Also, keep in mind that on 355 at the Wooten Parkway, traffic lights are not working correctly due to an overnight accident, so do keep that in mind. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy with a few stray showers early this morning. Otherwise, temperatures today not quite as warm in the lower 60s, but we'll at least lose the wind. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, lows 40s to near 50 degrees. Plenty of clouds on your Sunday. Isolated showers late in the day, mainly closer to the evening. Highs in the upper 60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The U.S. Supreme Court was established on the principles of fairness, dignity, and impartiality. But it's really a mess. I'm Leon Nathok, and I want to tell you about a new show I'm working on called 5 to 4.
Nine justices that compose the Supreme Court are not the smartest people in the country.
No.
We are.
That's right.
Every week, Peter, Rhiannon, and Michael are going to take on a legally dubious Supreme Court decision. Listen and subscribe to 5 to 4, free wherever you get your podcasts, from the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
It's time for Spring Madness at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Time to pack the gear, find the perfect spot, make the journey, and enjoy the outdoors. Gear up during the Spring Madness sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. With top brands like Worldwide Sportsman and Natural Reflections, check out our lower prices on Ascend Kayaks. And save up to 25% on tackle bags and boxes. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here. Shop online at BassPro.com or Cabela's.com.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. Since we're spending more time at home these days, perhaps you're finding some things about your home you don't really enjoy. Well, David Foster and his team at Foster Remodeling Solutions can work with you to solve those problems and turn your house into a home you'll truly love. Now more than ever, Foster Remodeling Solution understands the health and safety for you, your family, and their employees take top priority. So they're happy to discuss with you over the phone or with a video chat your home renovation goals to get the initial renovation process started. It's as easy as snapping some cell phone pictures of the area you want to be renovated. Whether it be a new gourmet kitchen, a luxurious bathroom, an in-law suite to care for loved ones, or an entire redesign of your home to age in place, Foster Remodeling Solutions is ready to help, and their craftsmanship is truly amazing. Call the company I recommend, Foster Remodeling Solutions. Start the process right now while you're home. 703-745-1110. 703-745-1110 or visit fosterremodeling.com. Foster Remodeling Solutions. Their process makes it perfect.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
President Trump has been exonerated, and now there's something every real American ought to have. Limited edition Trump 2020 American Eagle Silver Dollars. Celebrate Trump's historic victory with limited edition American Silver Eagles, specially priced from GovMint.com. Just call 1-800-973-3026. Hold the weight of democracy in your hand with new, perfect, uncirculated condition Silver Eagle coins. These historic coins, signed into law by Reagan, have been America's money since 1986. To secure your new limited edition Trump 2020 American Eagle Silver Dollar coins, call 1-800-973-3026. Call now and we'll give you a free Trump 2020 Patriots Pack, including a Declaration of Independence commemorative and 5 Lincoln cents when you order. Call now to secure your Silver Dollar coins. Plus, get your free Trump 2020 Patriots Pack, valued at over $10, free with every order. 1-800-973-3026. That's 1-800-973-3026.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jane Houghton, and our producer, and Jeff Wolf is behind the console this morning. It is good to have you with us. A couple of important stories that we're going to cover this morning. In terms of coronavirus, there are new guidelines on the wearing of masks. It is applicable to all of us, and we're going to get into that very, very shortly and get into detail. Also, the president has fired Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, who handled the whistleblower complaint that triggered his impeachment. That is a big story. It broke last night. Trump informing the Senate Intelligence Committee of his decision to fire Atkinson. Now, the Democrats are up in arms already. Trump said in the letter that it is vital that he has confidence in the appointees serving as inspectors general, and that is no longer the case with regard to this inspector general. Atkinson was the first to inform the Congress about the anonymous whistleblower complaint last year that described Trump's pressure on Ukraine to investigate Democrat Joe Biden and his son. What is not being reported in the first two paragraphs, which is pretty much all the news is covering, what is not really being reported in much detail is the story a little bit behind it, and that is that Michael Atkinson really went against the advice of his superior, the superior, Joseph McGuire. He was the acting director of national intelligence at the time. Michael Atkinson served under him, and McGuire's plan was to withhold the complaint from the House and Senate until they got guidance from the Justice Department rather than turn it over immediately to the Congress. So there's a little bit of context there, a little bit more detail to it than just President Trump firing for what many in the Democratic Party are calling retribution for the investigation, which led to the president's impeachment. We're going to speak with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer in more detail about that this morning. Also coming up this morning, we'll talk once again with Dr. Bob Lajita. He's at the St. Joseph's University Medical Center, which is in Paterson, New Jersey. It's right across the Hudson from Manhattan. We'll get an update from him on what's been happening in that area this week. And also he'll have some tips on what you can do to protect yourself against the coronavirus and some of the progress that he is seeing in the fight against coronavirus. We'll also be talking with KT McFarland this morning. As I mentioned, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Jennifer Harper, Cheryl Atkinson will be with us, and also John Gizzi from Newsmax. So we got a lot to cover on the Saturday morning update. And as I mentioned, the whole question of masks, it's been a little confusing, and what people don't want to admit, at least those who are critics of the administration and the task force, is this is all evolving. They are learning new information every day about the coronavirus, and I think everyone realizes that this caught the world off guard, caught the world by surprise, and we learn new things every day. And the guidelines on whether we should wear masks or not are changing, and the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, explained the very latest at the task force briefing late yesterday afternoon.
I want to unpack the evolution of our guidance on masks because it has been confusing to the American people. First of all, I want people to understand that the CDC, the World Health Organization, my office, and most public health and health organizations and professionals originally recommended against the general public wearing masks because, based on the best evidence available at the time, it was not deemed that that would have a significant impact on whether or not a healthy person wearing a mask would contract COVID-19. We have always recommended that symptomatic people wear a mask because if you're coughing, if you have a fever, if you're symptomatic, you could transmit disease to other people. What has changed in our recommendation? Well, it's important to know that we now know from recent studies that a significant portion of individuals with coronavirus lack symptoms. They're what we call asymptomatic. And that even those who eventually become pre-symptomatic, meaning that they will develop symptoms in the future, can transmit the virus to others before they show symptoms. This means that the virus can spread between people interacting in close proximity. For example, coughing, speaking, or sneezing, even if those people were not exhibiting symptoms. In light of this new evidence, CDC recommends and the task force recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain. These include places like grocery stores and pharmacies.
So that's the very latest from the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, late yesterday afternoon. And one other note that I feel is important to pass along. There's so much audio that we could present to you this morning, but I think it's important to hear the very latest thinking from Dr. Anthony Fauci. This was yesterday in terms of staying at home.
There's no doubt in my mind or anyone who knows anything about this that the mitigation activities, the physical separation that we're doing, clearly is having a positive impact. For that reason, the entire nation needs to continue to lean forward and absolutely adhere to those recommendations. Of course, that is the answer, and quite frankly, that is the only tool that we really have that we know is effective. New York has gotten hit very badly, so unfortunately, but they will likely turn that corner and start coming down sooner than other cities that started a bit later. It's going to get worse, much worse, before it gets better. And that just is an unfortunate fact that we have to deal with.
So that's the very latest from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Adams. And we'll take a quick break. We'll check the very latest on the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
So far, traffic is moving well on the interstates in Virginia, 95 and 395 main lanes running at speed. However, keep in mind that 395 express lanes are closed again for weekend road work between Duke Street and 14th Street Bridge. Also, do keep in mind in the district, there is road work southbound on 295 between Howard Street and the Suitland Parkway. The right lane is closed. And also, there is milled pavement to be aware of southbound on DC 295 between Eastern Avenue and Burroughs Avenue. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy with a few stray showers early this morning. Otherwise, temperatures today not quite as warm in the lower 60s, but we'll at least lose the wind. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, lows 40s to near 50 degrees. Plenty of clouds on your Sunday. Isolated showers late in the day, mainly closer to the evening. Highs in the upper 60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Currently 48 degrees in the nation's capital. It's 6:17 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update. And it's time to look at some of the politics of the coronavirus fight. And pretty amazing the amount of criticism of the administration, of the government, of FEMA, of the task force, primarily from the Senate and the congressional Democrats. If you look at the governors, and we're going to play a clip from Governor Cuomo in just a moment, but if you look at the governors, they seem to be working very well with the administration, but it is those in the Senate and the House that continue to be so critical. And the question has been about preparedness, and everybody on the Democratic side is claiming that the administration was asleep at the wheel. And the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, speaking at the task force presentation last night, the press conference, he explained about preparedness, and he goes into quite a bit of detail, and I think you need to hear this to understand that there was a lot going on a while back.
For 15 years now, this country has had a massive effort at the federal, state, and local level of preparedness for pandemic. Now, that largely has been, as I said in those remarks, about pandemic flu preparedness. We knew about SARS, we knew about MERS, which were earlier modifications or variants of the coronavirus. None of those achieved anything like what we're seeing today. But that's why for successive presidencies, including the leadership of President Trump, there has been a great focus on pandemic preparedness. In fact, it was just in November, I believe, that the president signed the Pandemic Flu Preparedness Executive Order that we have also updated the Pandemic Crisis Action Plan, which has been the playbook from which we've been working, the Pandemic Flu Plan, the action plan from which we have been working that coordinates the whole of government, whole of economy approach here. So we've all been very focused on pandemic preparedness. That's what we do. But this particular strain of pandemic, who would have known this particular strain?
One of the things that I really enjoy about the Saturday morning update is the opportunity to go into a little more context instead of the 10-second sound bites that you'll catch on cable news. And this is the real story of the relationship between Andrew Cuomo and President Trump. Now, this is one instance, and it hasn't all been peaches and cream, but this is one example from the end of the week of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and President Trump working together, and this involves the Javits Center, which was set up by FEMA as a hospital initially to treat non-COVID patients, but there was a need, and it was addressed, and here's Governor Cuomo.
We don't have non-COVID people to any great extent in the hospitals. Hospitals have now turned into effectively ICU hospitals for COVID patients. So we wanted to convert Javits from non-COVID to COVID. It's federally run. Frankly, the federal agencies were not eager to do that. FEMA was not eager to do that. I called the president. I spoke to him about it yesterday morning. Yesterday afternoon, the president called me back, said he spoke to the task force. They would grant the request to transition the Javits Center to COVID only. That adds 2,500 beds. So that is a very big deal. And I thank the president for doing it. He did it despite the fact that the federal agencies were not eager to do it. And he did it quickly. So I thank him for that. It's a big deal for us.
And that's probably a story that we would not see on the front page of the Washington Post or at the top of the headlines on CNN. Just an example of the fact that there is cooperation between the governors and the administration. It's 6:21. This is the Saturday morning update. We're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to join Jennifer Harper a little bit earlier this morning, and then we'll be talking with Dr. Bob Lahida coming up in the next half hour. A fascinating conversation with him, so please stick around with us on the Saturday morning update, now 6:22.
Are you concerned about the impact of COVID-19 on your retirement savings? Rick Edelman here. That's a silly question, really. Of course you're concerned. Right now, you need to know if your retirement strategy is the right one for this new world we've all suddenly found ourselves in and for what might come next. So, to help you during these difficult times, we will give you the answers, and we will do it for free. Just call us at Edelman Financial Engines at 888-PLAN-RICK, and by phone or video con, we'll give you a free retirement review. We'll evaluate your current situation and your investment portfolio and tell you what you need to do right now. We've provided vital assistance like this to folks just like you through every financial crisis of the past 34 years, and we're here to help you right now. There's no obligation, but you do need to call us by Monday, 10 p.m. Call 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. And call us right now.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It's a basic truth. People need each other. It's why PenFed Credit Union's first members joined together for a better financial future. For 85 years, we've been there for our members and communities, and we're here for you today. We can help you bridge a financial gap Save wisely and make confident decisions with your money. We don't know what the future holds, but we know from the past that the way we succeed is together. Membership is open to everyone. Apply at PenFed.org. Insured by NCUA.
Thank you for joining us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, and Jennifer Harper is with us each weekend. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, keeps tabs on the media, social trends, public opinion. Jennifer, the world has certainly changed in the last month.
Yes, indeed. I do indeed track all that stuff, and we are a little topsy-turvy, but we all know that this is America, and we're gonna keep on keeping on. So, good morning.
Well, you do watch the media very carefully, and Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, has held press briefings and cable networks pretty much airing his entire press briefings. What does that mean in terms of his political future?
Well, it means a whole lot. I mean, there has been discussion for several weeks that he could either be a potential vice presidential candidate with Joe Biden, or that he could possibly run for president himself. That's been disputed a great deal, but there are quite a few analysts that say that that could be a possibility under certain circumstances, which we won't go into this morning. But you're 100% right. He's getting carried like a major figure. They're carrying all of his speeches. He's getting lots of time on CNN and so forth and so on. And people are saying he's very authoritative. And this morning we're going to talk about the fact that I think the press is now getting cabin fever, because if you look at the coverage of Mr. Cuomo, a certain part of it has gone a little awry, and this is sort of humorous, so I thought we'd be a great start for us this morning. There's a lot of talk that women are developing a crush on Andrew Cuomo, okay? For those who don't know, he is 62 years old, he's single, and he has received this week some very enthusiastic praise from New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd and MSNBC primetime host Rachel Maddow, and there are so many women, they're writing about him so much that Bloomberg News is starting to track it a little bit here. And the Cuomo coverage is also getting very creative. Now, I'm going to read you something verbatim. This is coming from a writer for Marie Claire, which is a woman's magazine, and this is what she has to say. Like a velveteen gravity blanket for my soul, the second I see this man's perfectly weathered face and tousled curls, the moment his Pacino-like accent fills my living room with its mafia-like authority, my blood pressure drops. A tingly feeling of optimism washes over my imprisoned body as I think to myself, I think I'm in love with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. So there was another writer besides Michelle Collins. She's actually a talk radio host. How about that? Who wrote the thing I just read to you. This is by Rebecca Fishbein. She is a writer for Jezebel. She says, help, I think I'm in love with Andrew Cuomo. And she wrote a story about that, and he actually called her up. And she wrote a story about that as well. But you have to kind of keep in mind that pandemics kind of inspire all sorts of reactions, and this is one of them. And certainly some of the more serious stuff, there's some in the press that are calling for Mr. Biden to step aside, and one gentleman who has kind of summarized all this for us, and this is Nate Ashworth. He is the editor of Election Central, which is a very good site. He said, if it wasn't for the insane nature of politics right now, floating Cuomo for president and replacing Joe Biden would be an April Fool's joke. However, in the year 2020, where chaos continues to reign amid a global pandemic, Cuomo might have to get in line behind the other outlandish ideas floating around right now. And that's coming from Nate Ashworth of Election Central. So maybe the press is getting cabin fever. I don't know.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jennifer Harper after a quick check of the news, and then we'll be back also talking with Dr. Bob Lahita. John Gizzi joins us in the 7 o'clock hour from Newsmax. We've got Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland all coming up.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19. those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit GiveWestwood.org. GiveWestwood.org.
It's time for Spring Madness at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Time to pack the gear, find the perfect spot, make the journey, and enjoy the outdoors. Gear up during the Spring Madness sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. With top brands like Worldwide Sportsman and Natural Reflections, check out our lower prices on Ascend Kayaks and save up to 25% on tackle bags and boxes. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here. Shop online at BassPro.com or Cabela's.com.
And a look at some of the news around the globe this morning. The president of the United Nations General Assembly says the world body will make a decision in the coming month on whether to delay the annual gathering of world leaders in New York in late September because of the coronavirus pandemic. Egyptian officials say at least 17 medics in the country's main cancer hospital have been quarantined after testing positive for the coronavirus, raising fears the pandemic could prey on health facilities in the Arab world's most populous country of Egypt. America's armed services are finding it harder to bring in new recruits as the worsening coronavirus forces families and communities to hunker down, even as the country is turning increasingly to the military for help. Most enlistment stations across the country are closed. Recruiters are working from home, seeking new prospects almost exclusively on social media sites. A Russian military cargo plane bearing a load of urgently needed medical supplies landed at New York's JFK Airport this week, an odd twist in the U.S.-Russia rivalry. Russia touting it as a magnanimous aid contribution to a struggling country in need. The State Department insisted it was a commercial transaction. The U.S. had paid Russia for the supplies, and they were certainly not a gift. Scarce supplies of medical equipment are leading to growing competition within the U.S. and among nations, in which one France politician calls a worldwide treasure hunt. Governor Cuomo of New York has vowed to seize unused ventilators from private hospitals and companies. President Trump says he's preventing the export of N95 respirator masks and surgical gloves, a move he said was necessary to ensure that medical supplies are available in the U.S. It's 6:33, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic is moving well on the Beltway this morning throughout Maryland and Virginia. Do keep in mind that the long-term work zone on the inner loop at Central Avenue has that off-ramp closed. Also, keep in mind this weekend that on the Intercounty Connector eastbound between Columbia Pike and 95, they're doing the tolling upgrade work again this weekend, so that portion of the roadway is closed. However, detours are in effect. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
More clouds and sun on this Saturday. We will have the chance for a couple of showers early on in the morning, but I think that will diminish by the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows in the 40s to near 50 degrees. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies. Isolated showers with a cold front. Those should come late in the afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees at 6:34 on the Saturday morning update.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. Now listen closely because there's a lot to consider when selling a home. Home equity is high. Housing inventory is down. Interest rates are at an all-time low. Is uncertainty or current world news going to drag down the home market? You need answers. Call the only ones I trust to get it right. The real estate experts, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, the Reynolds team with Keller Williams Realty. Just 1 5-minute call with the Reynolds team will empower you to learn and get options on what will work best for your situation. You've heard us talk about the Reynolds team for years now. Yes, the Wall Street Journal named Sarah and Debbie one of the top real estate teams in the country. And yes, they get their sellers top dollar. And yes, the Reynolds team will guarantee to sell your home at list price or they'll pay the difference. Don't risk losing your home's equity. You have questions and there's not a better time to have an expert on your side. All you have to do is call the only one I would trust, and that's the Reynolds team. 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, and at DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Hi, this is Mary Walter with a reminder for you to depend on WMAL through the coronavirus challenge. Our team continues to provide you with the most complete information, including our daily live broadcast of the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings. We thank our sponsors for their support and encourage you to continue to support our WMAL advertisers now and after the crisis passes. Thank you for your support of WMAL.
We continue our conversation with Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. Nancy Pelosi talking about investigations. Chuck Schumer has been highly critical of the president this week at a time when one would hope we could unite the country.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, we see growing fear out there. Too many people are watching too much dramatic and alarming television coverage. And so we would wish that. We would wish the Democrats would be, I don't know, supportive and not tacky, but that's not happening right now. And particularly this week, I mean, the U.S. Had a very grim hallmark this week. And that is the fact that the coronavirus has killed more Americans now than the 9/11 terrorist attacks. That became a cultural moment this week. A couple of news organizations have recognized that. But it also inspired one journalist to remember how the Democrats reacted after 9/11, which is pretty interesting. David Catron, he is a columnist for The Spectator. He recalled that Hillary Clinton herself was very supportive of George W. Bush at the time. The Democrats and Republicans, they sang God Bless America on the steps of the Capitol. Remember all of that? And now we have high-profile Democrats, very high-profile Democrats, who are continuing to criticize the president. They're continuing to push all of their alarming narratives, you know, supported, of course, by the news media. And Mr. Catron says this in a very succinct way. He says, as recently as a couple of decades ago, even Hillary Clinton possessed enough self-command to support George W. Bush. She knew that to do otherwise in a time of crisis would be seen as a betrayal of American values. This is why President Trump's approval ratings are steadily rising. The voters know he is sacrificing his strongest claim on a second term, the economy, for the good of the American people. Even Joe Biden has finally realized that he must be part of the solution to have any credibility. Trump will still win in November because he is taking action while most Democrats take cheap shots. Make America Great Again has never meant more than it does now. And that's, again, coming from David Catron, well said, Spectator columnist.
And the Democratic super PACs have chimed in with some very vicious attack ads on President Trump. What is the Trump campaign doing?
Well, you know, let's look at the Trump campaign. They're still going gangbusters, even while President Trump is giving these daily briefings and so forth. The Trump campaign itself is in high gear, and I went and did a little study over there to see what their strategies are, and we kind of need to give them a round of applause because the reelection campaign is going gangbusters. In fact, just this week alone, President Trump is unveiling new coalitions, voter coalitions. He's going out there to get a huge array of potential voters. Kind of diversity Trump style, I guess. Like this week he introduced Catholics for Trump as well as sheriffs for Trump. And, you know, Sheriff Bunny Walsh of Pennsylvania, who's the co-chair of this organization, she said, President Trump understands how crucial our law enforcement are in the safety and well-being of this country and has made it a priority to honor, cherish, and support our men and women blue. And all of this good feeling is out there. It's not getting reported very much. But also, just to name a couple of the other demographic groups that Mr. Trump has, he's got coalitions for women, Latinos, African Americans, pro-life advocates, military vets, evangelicals, workers, Irish Americans, Greek Americans, cops, and even disgruntled Democrats. And meanwhile, happy to say that the GOP has got its own outreach going. They have separate interest groups, a half dozen of them so far, for GOP Hispanics, for Black Republican activists, Asian Pacific Americans, GOP faith, youth leaders, and veterans and military families. So that's just a taste of what's going on behind the scenes. You don't hear about this too much, but it's going on.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the different media outlets, you'll get kind of a different picture as to where things are. Some are much more dramatic and sensational and even morbid about what's going on in the country. How is that playing out with people based on their political persuasion?
Well, it's playing out in a very big way. In fact, our friends over at Pew Research Center have come out with a very interesting poll. This is a big poll. This is 11,537 people that they polled here. And what they were trying to find out was whether there were differences between the way Republicans and Democrats are reacting to the coronavirus pandemic. Here's what they have to say. Republicans are more likely than Democrats to say they feel comfortable proceeding with a variety of activities despite the coronavirus outbreak. For example, 68% of Republicans and people who lean towards the GOP say they will be comfortable visiting with a close friend, compared with 55% of Democrats. And again, this is Pew Research that is saying this. 17% of Republicans report that they feel high distress over the coronavirus situation, compared to 30% of Democrats. 23% of Republicans say they feel medium distress. Well, 28% of Democrats feel that. And the survey also found that 59% of the Republicans said that they had low distress, compared to 41% of the Democrats. And again, for Pew, they say Democrats are more likely than Republicans to say their personal life has changed in a major way as a result of the outbreak. About half of Democrats say this, 51%, compared with only 38% of Republicans. So the takeaway message here is Republicans are kind of keeping on normal life. Democrats, not so much.
We talked about the personalities in the politics. What about the personalities in the economy?
Yeah, let's just round out our morning here with some interesting news. This is a UBS Global Wealth Management survey of 1,000 U.S. investors who had at least $1 million or more in investable assets. I'm just going to read you the numbers and take away. It's a promising poll. Just leave it at that. Anyway, they say 77% of these very high-end U.S. investors remain optimistic about the long-term economic outlook, 77%. 70% of investors are concerned about the pandemic. 59% are pessimistic about the short-term economic outlook. 58% don't plan to adjust their portfolios. 42% plan to wait until stocks fall another 5 to 20% to buy. And 34% believe now is a good time to buy stocks. So those are not such bad numbers. And when I saw that, I thought, I think the public needs to know this, because the takeaway is just give it time. How about that?
Jennifer Harper, you can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. And thank you very, very much.
My pleasure, Rick. And have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you. It is 6:43. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up next, we had a chance to talk to Dr. Bob Lajita late last night. He's at St. Joseph's University Medical Center. It's right outside of New York City in Paterson, New Jersey. We'll get the very latest on what's going on in his hospital, what's going on in the New York area. That's next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, traffic is moving at speed on 95 from Dale City to Springfield and on 395 from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge. Keep in mind those HOV lanes of 395 closed between Duke Street and the 14th Street Bridge due to weekend road work. Also, the Intercounty Connector eastbound between Columbia Pike and 95, that portion closed again for the tolling upgrades, but detours are in place to take you around that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
More clouds and sun on this Saturday. We will have the chance for a couple of showers early on in the morning, but I think that will diminish by the afternoon. Highs in the lower 60s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows in the 40s to near 50 degrees. For your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies. Isolated showers with a cold front. Those should come late in the afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees at 6:44 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We've been really honored to be joined by Dr. Bob Lajita the past several weeks. He is a professor of medicine at New York Medical College, and he's the chairman of medicine at St. Joseph University Hospital. That's in Paterson, New Jersey, right across the Hudson River from Manhattan. Doctor, thank you for being with us again this week.
Thank you very much, Rick, for having me.
You have really taken us to the front lines in the New York area, and I'm just curious how your situation has improved over the week and also how it may have worsened.
Well, the only improvement that we're seeing is we have less admissions of patients without COVID-19. We are seeing a major uptick of patients with the disease who are most of them pending in the emergency room. The emergency room is so crowded that we have had to open another floor for the emergency patients who are pending. Now, when I say pending, I mean that some of them are intubated. Many of them, that is, they have a breathing tube down their trachea and on a respirator to breathe. And many of them are very sick, coughing, running high fevers, sneezing. They have not been admitted at this time, but they are being held until the test results come forward. Now, the good thing that's happened is as a week ago Friday, we received a shipment of test materials that would allow us to test 20 patients every 2 hours with modules. And so that took a huge chunk out of the population. Patients who were positive, that were clinically stable, were discharged. Those who were COVID negative and clinically stable were discharged. So in a 650-bed hospital, we managed to get quite a few people out of the hospital, which opens beds up for patients that are positive and very sick. Now, I have cohorted a lot of these patients with our huge number of residents on special floors. And what we've done was we have taken charge of those patients that are COVID positive, and we are managing them via the Department of Medicine. We have our hospitalists who are managing them, and we have a group of heart and vascular hospitalists who are helping us manage them. So with this huge team of physicians, we are now managing several hundred COVID positive patients. And I must say the good news is that it is, while their intubation is common, they usually wind up getting off the intubator or actually off the respirator and discharged. That's the good news, Rick. It's very few deaths. We've had a total in our hospital since this pandemic began of 40 deaths.
There's been questions about long-lasting effects. You mentioned people have been on ventilators, then they recover and they're discharged. Do they have a lasting effect?
Well, the psychological effect is the big one. There is no known lasting effect right now. There is a problem, some say, with fibrosis of the lung. That's a hardening of some of the parts of the lung, which we see in patients with various forms of arthritis and autoimmune disease. I have not personally seen fibrosis in this population of patients, but I have to be honest, you would have to get a very high-sensitive CAT scan of the lung after the patient is discharged and recovered, which I'm sure we will do to our cohorts of patients down the road, say a month, 2 months after their discharge and after they're stable, and also after the pandemic subsides. Because right now, that's the last thing we're thinking of. As long as we can get them off of the ventilator and out of the hospital, that's our goal.
You mentioned testing at the hospital, and we hear a lot about tests. Help us to understand those tests that you feel are the best.
Well, you may recall the last time we spoke, I think it was last week, the last time we spoke, we had just gotten the rapid test. Now, before that, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the test was you did swabs of the nasopharynx. You put this long thing down a patient's nose and into their throat, very uncomfortable. And you then took it and sent it off to the state lab, and if it was positive, it went to the federal lab for confirmation. Now, the other thing that happened is it could go to a commercial lab like LabCorp or Quest or other labs. There are a few other labs that were doing this work, and then it would be confirmed. But that took 7 to sometimes 14 days to get a result. It was very unwieldy. So when the rapid test came about, this was an ability to run 20 patients in a module every 2 hours. So you can see that over the weekend, working around the clock, we could get several hundred patients tested. That was a game changer. Now, I have to be technical for your listeners. This is reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction, which is now being done. God, I can remember this 30 years ago where it was the most laborious thing you could do. But now it's very quick. You put it in, it's automated, the machine does it, and it tells us virus detected or virus not detected. Now, when it's not detected, that's excellent, and the patient goes home and is told to quarantine and stay free of his or her neighbors or family members that are infected. What we are looking for down the road is the rapid test that Vice President Pence mentioned at the coronavirus briefing, and that's the 15-minute test. So a test where some of our doctors, such as myself, who are interfacing with these patients day and night, where we could be tested quickly and get the result back within a half an hour. Well, in this case, it would be, I think they said 5 minutes and then 13 minutes to know if you're positive. This would be incredible. 5 minutes to know if you're negative, 13 minutes to know if you're positive. I think that's what he said. This would be extraordinary. And then the most important series of tests is the enzyme immunoassay, or ELISA, that was mentioned by Dr. Birx and also by Tony Fauci. And that is a test that we use almost every day. And it's a rapid test, and it really looks for antibody in people that have had the virus and have recovered from the virus. This is a game changer, because if we can show that, you know, out of 10,000 people, 8,000 have been infected and are walking around and stable with an immune response to the virus, and 2,000 are not, that will be really significant, because it'll show us what the true morbidity and mortality of this virus infection is. And that's something we need going forward.
Well, along those lines, study results out this week showing the coronavirus seems to be much more contagious than originally thought. What is your sense of that study finding, and what would you recommend to people to avoid becoming infected?
Well, first of all, that study has wreaked havoc. I mean, it has wreaked havoc. It keeps people out of stores, out of supermarkets. When they go, they're wearing masks and gloves, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. In fact, everybody, the good news of this is that if, and I've heard this from even my spouse, that people that are asymptomatic are walking around shedding virus, and anybody can give it to you, even somebody who's perfectly healthy. Now, I'm not so sure about that data, those data. I haven't seen the official study yet, but it has caused us to rethink the business of wearing a cloth mask. So in this case, anybody out and about in a big crowd of people, and God knows we should not have big crowds of people, but I'm talking about walking along the street, everybody should wear a cloth mask. And that's not an N95, which is strictly for the hospital, for EMS workers, police departments, fire departments. Those are fitted masks, the N95s. You have to have a fit test to fit the mask to your face, or know that your face is sealed around the mask. The cloth mask is not that way. The cloth mask I wear around the hospital, I wear it when I come home, I wear it when I go to the store, etc. There was a time 2 weeks ago, if you wore a mask in a supermarket, people looked at you like you were crazy and thought, well, maybe you're infected. But now the new guidelines coming out saying everybody should wear a mask. It doesn't mean you're infected. Those who are infected shouldn't be out shopping anyhow. Those who have symptoms like fever, sneezing, coughing, nausea, they should not be in a Home Depot or the local Stop and Shop. You know, so it's changed. It's another game changer. Every time I talk to you each week, there have been numerous things that have changed. Customs are changing daily, almost hourly.
Your needs change daily. And as of this weekend, what would you see as immediate needs for you and your colleagues in New York that maybe somebody on Capitol Hill that might be tuned in could help you with?
Well, I have to congratulate Vice President Pence, and I have to congratulate the president, because we did get 30 new respirators just today, and we are running short of respirators or ventilators, and we needed them, and they came from the feds. And I was very, very happy to see that. We're using 20 of them in the city. We're using 10 of them in a small hospital, a suburban hospital, about 150 beds. That hospital's out of control. There's patients everywhere. The intensive care unit, which usually holds 14 people, is now up to some 20 patients. And our hospital is loaded. We're opening ectopic, meaning outside of the usual ICU beds. So these respirators have come from Washington. That has been spectacular. The second thing I want to say is pop-up hospitals. Pop-up hospitals to take care of patients who don't have COVID-19. And there are many of them popping up. The federal government has been gracious enough, FEMA, I guess, coming in and setting up a hospital in the Meadowlands, a hospital in the Javits Center, another hospital in a stadium, I believe, which is going to help dehisce. Dehisce is a surgical term, meaning when you open up a wound, when the stitches, you know, let the gases and blood out, we can dehisce the population and let people have more beds and more medical care in open spaces where they're not so crammed in the ICUs of the big city hospitals, where the ICUs are overrun. There's too many patients, too many ventilators, and not enough staff. So in Washington, they have listened to us. This is me talking now. My personal belief is we have been listened to. I'm waiting for the rapid test, but I think the ventilator story is spectacular. I think we need more ventilators. We need more N95 masks. I'm told that we're getting more. We need several hundred thousand regular masks, non N95 masks, cloth masks, and we need gowns, and we need face shields. If we're working with a patient directly, intubating the patient or going to a cardiac arrest, a face shield is imperative because there's a lot of spraying of saliva that those salivary particles are filled with virus, and we have to be protected. So to answer your question, I think I want to convey the message to the Congress and to the Senate and to the President, Vice President, and Tony Fauci and Dr. Birx that whatever they're doing seems to be working. It's a little bit slower than we would like, but, you know, hey, this is a unique happening. We realize this is a once in maybe a century kind of event. I hope we never see it again, but as has been told many times, it's probably worse than 9/11 was. I was involved in 9/11. It was probably worse than that. From our standpoint, many, many more casualties, many, many more deaths.
And final questions. We've been spared so far in the Washington area from the intense severity of what you're seeing in the New York area. What would you say to a listener this morning in terms of taking this seriously?
Oh, yeah. Distance yourself from your neighbor. Distance yourself even from your spouse or your mate or your kids. Make sure you're about 6 feet apart. Anybody sneezing and coughing has to wear a mask. Somebody who's really sneezing and coughing and has a fever should be wearing an N95 mask. They are obtainable. And I would say that I would wear a mask at all times, and I would watch what I touch. Make sure you wipe things down with either Lysol or Clorox bleach spray. Be very careful with what you touch, like credit cards in the gas station, like cash, money. Any of these things that come from strangers could have the virus on them, and anybody can be inoculated. And this is why we need that rapid test, because I'd like to see if in the general population what the immunity, that we call that herd immunity, as in H-E-R-D, I'd like to see what the herd immunity is in the general population. But certainly around here where there's tens of millions of people in the New York area, we've been hit the hardest because we are closer together. There's a lot of poor people. There's a lot of solid citizens riding subways, buses, trains, planes, God knows what. President Trump cut, you know, travel off from foreign countries like Europe, China, the Far East, the Middle East. So it's working. I'm hoping, as we all hope, as Tony Fauci says, we'd want to get to that. We want to take away that curve, get to lower that curve so that the number of cases are mitigated. We don't see it increasing, but rather we see it decreasing. That's what I'm looking for, Rick. Maybe next week I can report to you that we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel.
Dr. Bob Lahida, Chairman of Medicine, St. Joseph University Hospital in Paterson, New Jersey. Doctor, thank you so much once again.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
The 7 o'clock news is next on WMAL. Then we're back. We'll have K.T. McFarland, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Cheryl Atkinson, and John Gizzi all in the next hour.
WMAL, saluting our first responders and medical professionals.
They continue to serve their country.
Thank you for that.
America salutes you.
God bless you all.
Stay with 105.9 FM.
Thank you very much.
WMAL. WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.